weekdays. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
How we doing, folks? PJ and Jim here. Time for a bit, little bit of glory days. What do you think?
Yeah. So here's some random bits that we chose randomly from a random part of the week. We don't think they're the best or anything.
No, we're better than this sometimes. Yeah.
This is just, we're just testing the water and we thought we'd show. You enjoy them.
I wouldn't have your expectations too high. That's all I'm saying.
All I'm saying is if you did enjoy them, it's some of the best bits. If you didn't, we just wanted to test it out. New material. That's all. So don't be getting over yourselves.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
They do say, and there is that famous expression, where there's a will, there's a relative.
Yeah, it's not the truth, yeah.
The old inheritance, it can be the cause of very, you know, a lot of problems, a lot of controversy, a lot of conflict.
There's nothing more taboo than money or debt. These are the two conversations. So when you have to link them together.
Yeah. And obviously, for somebody like you, obviously, very wealthy or whatever, in years to come.
Oh, you're an idiot.
How, you know, there's going to be a lot of people vying for your fortune.
There'd be nothing. I'm dying in debt. I'm spending every single cent, of which there is not many, while I am alive. No one's getting a damn
thing. So it can be a thorny subject, though.
It is. It's
difficult one to approach.
To the point that they reckon a third of families just never, ever speak about it until it's too late, right?
Right.
So they say, so obviously millions and millions of worth of assets are passed through to younger generations over every year, right? And we never have the conversation. And they reckon 36% of Generation X, that's us, Jim, age, 44 to 59, say they have not discussed inheritance with their parents. I actually thought that was going to be with their children, but with their parents. And it's because...
Bit late for both of us now.
Bit late. Yeah. Yes. But I'd say in both our cases... Wasn't really a key conversation usually, but happening. But money is seen as such a taboo subject, and with inheritance it's even more because you have the added sort of the woe is me of it all, and people will be unprepared to know what way it'll go, and then fights can start.
Right.
Oprah Winfrey always said she recommended years ago that you give it away while you're still alive.
Living wills and all that.
All of that sort of carry on. But it's tough, normally, and they're saying, please do it, because it really does make a difference, you know.
Because normally most people, it's a wait and see, isn't it? It's an I wonder. It's that classic scene that you see in movies and television shows where people gather around in a solicitor's office and wait for the will to be read.
Exactly.
Or has that ever happened in real life, or does that only ever happen?
I think it's an American thing.
It's a very American thing.
They don't do that in Ireland. Yeah. Everybody come... So we can tell everyone good news except for one relative who gets absolutely nothing.
Anto, you are getting is pigeons. They're yours.
I don't think we do it like that. Right. I don't think so. So they say write a will first and foremost. No matter how, because it can be as loosey-goosey as you want.
Right.
You know, it can be like whatever's there and all, you can just give to this person. Like, you can really be a loosey-goosey with.
Whatever, if there is that left... Whatever's left.
That's what they do.
Divvy it up with whoever's still knocking about.
They do, but that causes trouble.
I mean, that's not exact legal speak, just to be clear. That was, wasn't exactly, that's not legal parlance.
It's also not exactly great for the revenue. Because one of the problems is you're gone, they have all these things, and your family, whoever is inheriting whatever's left, even if it's a couple of hundred quid.
Right.
Well, no, you don't have to pay tax on that. But whatever, if it's over any threshold at all, they don't know how to deal with the tax implications and all that sort of stuff.
Because you have to you have to get tax clearance certs in order to get inheritance.
Isn't it mad
don't
they
you?
Literally tax a dead man? They're like, hold on a minute now. You know,
that's a big bone of contention at the moment. Actually, the whole inheritance tax thing. Some people are really on it, like they think it's a wealth tax and you should be taxing it. And then other people are saying, for God's sake. Whoever they were, they paid whatever they paid while they were alive, you know?
Yeah.
There's all sorts of it. But anyway, it's not going to really affect us really, is it?
No.
But it's like, so the idea is you're going to have a conversation. So you're going to have to sit down with Milo and Stevie in the future, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to, and have the conversation about, look it, there'll be a few million for you, a few million for you, and whatever, right? Now, the thing is, right, what happens if you say, listen, giving you that, and one of them objects. you know, while you're still knocking about. In other words, they kind of pitch for it, yeah, argue the toss as to, well, I think I should get a bit more now because he's an Aegis.
Yeah, yeah. I hear what you're saying, but see, you're so lost in a dissolved fantasy that it's beyond any credibility whatsoever. The simple fact is, when I have this conversation, which I intend to with my children, I'm going to go...
You want to do it soon, by the way, man. You're not getting any younger, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I coughed at that moment.
Just a sign, that's all.
I'll be saying, so me two bottles of whiskey I have left, one of them's half drank, Milo. There you have for you.
If I don't get to finish that.
If it's not gone before me,
yeah,
that's yours.
Well, don't be at it until I am gone.
Now, Steve, I've nothing for you, only this final piece of advice and a poem I wrote.
A poem? Yeah, she'll read it, thanks for that.
And she'll be there, what? And they'll be all, yes, alas, as I sit here, lamenting the gym. Or, you know, yeah. Yeah. Please look after yourself. It'll be it'll probably be a load of nothing like that.
I mean, the other thing about it as well is, I suppose they probably mean for, you know, things that maybe are sentimental. You know, so what about money? You know, we're just talking about money, but there might be objects and things that, you know, people have that are considered heirlooms or considered special or have special meaning. And, you know, you want to do the kind of, I'm leaving you my collection of tea bags.
That's a great idea.
Which I have, you know, whatever.
You've given me a great idea, and I'm going to do this now. I'm going to box up something.
Exactly.
And I'm going to have that.
Yeah, don't open it till after I'm
gone. After my demise. And I'm going to have the solicitor open it with them. And they'll be like, this is something he really wanted you to have. I'll have the name on it.
Yeah.
And they'll unveil it. And it'll just be a fake poo and a load of flies. And one of them poems.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
If you've been listening so far this morning, you'll know that my learned friend and colleague PJ Gallagher has been struck down by the dreaded Lurgy. And he's not happy about it, I tell you. Not only is he infecting everybody around him, he's absolutely beating the living daylights out of everybody. He's angry today. The thing about it is, you see, sometimes it can be that when when you're a man... You know, even a famous man, even a famous celebrity.
You're such an idiot.
Even if you get struck down, sometimes people just don't take you seriously.
They don't.
Sometimes they just assume.
It's not
real. You know what I mean? That you shouldn't succumb to the, you know, dreaded kind of...
Yeah, they say you're being dramatic. You
absolutely.
Know? You're not being dramatic,
and
you're
when
sick.
And when have you ever been dramatic?
It's never happened.
No. It wouldn't be like you to over, like, it's not like you make it all about you.
No.
Or it's not like you just, you know.
Thank you, yeah.
You go over the top about everything.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And
thanks very much. I appreciate you saying these things.
You know, but some people out there don't believe that men are as sick as they often say they are.
And they are. Men are sickos. And it's official. The man flu is real. Very, very real. Its existence has long proved to be a topic of vigorous debate between men and women. But scientists reckon they've gotten to the... Well, doctorists have just reckon they've gotten to the end of it. They say 70% of men report their feelings when they have colds and flus that level them and poleax them in ways that women report differently. It does seem to affect men harder, more, and more frequently than it affects women.
Wow.
Man flu is real.
I know. So this is factual, scientific, medical fact.
I read it in the Daily Mail.
Of course, then. That's a veritable medical journal.
Yes.
The Daily Mail.
There's even a picture of a man was sneezing in the story.
How much more proof does anybody need?
So there you are. Absolutely verifiable source. Man flu is 100% real. So for the years and years and years where people say, well, we've always said it's not man flu, it's a flu like anyone else. And women go, it's man flu. If it was me, I'd be up marching across the Alps and whatever it is, or I'd be doing everything that you're not doing, basically, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it turns out lads are more polite.
Which, to be fair, is kind of, that is true, to be fair. You know, a lot of women probably would manage to get everything done, cause, you know, or whatever. Yeah. But that's not the point.
That's not the point, but it's true. Well, it is the point, actually.
That we are feeling worse than people believe we are feeling.
That's the whole point of this, yeah. We are actually, it is more difficulter.
More difficulter than ever.
Than you would think it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. Although it is different in my house. And you know, I'm the one that, Kelly's like, I mean, a soft leaf in the breeze would blow poor old Kelly over. Every time you go into the house, you're like, I'm not good. Something is happening. Oh,
wow.
God.
Yeah.
And I'd be like,
yeah.
And she's like, are you sick? No, I'm not sick. Oh, how are you not sick? I don't know. It's just like, it's almost like I'm not sick. It's just, she's like, ah. Oh. This is the worst lurgy I've ever had. You know, I'm like, I don't know. So it's the other way in my house. And now I am sick. It's kind of like, you're fine. You're okay.
We should get him. If anybody has any kind of, because while you're waiting for your official sort of medications, we should get him. We should get a few. What do you call it? Home remedies. Always get a good. Because especially if
home remedies.
Yeah, home, like there must
has there
be
ever been anything less effective than a home remedy?
I know, but it's very entertaining. So yeah, we should get, like, you know, I don't know, you know, something that maybe involves, I don't know, rubbing honey on your chest and then letting bees at you or something.
Or the weird ones that don't even have anything to do with
or
you.
Or onions. Stuff that'd have you a mad bang off you all day.
Yeah. You know the ones, like the real mad ones, where you get an onion and you rub it on your chest, right? And then you wrap it in an old childhood blanket and dig bury a hole it. And bury it under the park.
Yeah.
You used to go to as a child.
If anybody has a genuine home remedy for PJ's, what are we calling it? Chest infection.
Chest infection.
Or just general ailments. I'll accept anything at all. I'll accept anything. You know what I mean? If it's, you know, anything that leans towards slightly foul smelling, slightly embarrassing, anything of that nature.
Anything at all. Like
all suggestions welcome on 0871818100.
I told you about when my father went to the faith healer fella with the wart on his hand. I told you that before, didn't I?
That was something to do with a fiver.
With the wart.
It?
And he goes, he says, listen, I can help you, no problem. He rang him.
Yeah.
And he says, don't you even worry about it. You just trace a picture of your hand on a page, like a child would do.
Yeah.
Put an X where the wart is in the picture. Roll it up in a 50 euro note and send it to me, right?
Yeah.
And he did it, right?
Yeah.
So we sent it off. Within a week, man, the wart started to unravel now.
Wow.
Started to fall off and everything. Within a week,
but
it was
then
gone. And then, but this is not the end of the story. Then, a month later, he was walking around telling everyone about the magic man, right?
Right.
And a month later, he opens the letter he got in the post and it was his own drawing of the hand and the 50 euro note. And a letter saying, sorry, I never got around to this. I haven't been feeling well.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
There's been a kind of a trend over the last little while. We're talking about people who, well, let's be honest, us lads really, who tend to overestimate our abilities. You know, we've had lads who claimed they could wrestle a bear and win, and lads who could outrun a racehorse, and lads who could land a plane if they needed to, and
all of these things.
And you know, it is a bit of an overestimation of your ability. In fact, this survey probably is a bit more accurate, I would say.
I think so, yeah. If not, still shocking. So most of us apparently wouldn't know what to do in an emergency. So, you know, if 54% of us, if somebody collapsed in front of us, we wouldn't know what to do. That's kind of shocking, right? So this whole story is about reminding people, just brush up on the basics if you can, do a CPR course, do all these things, right?
Right.
So the second question was then, if you don't know what to do, what would you do if you saw someone? And shockingly, 1 in 3 said, I'd run away. Which is not very helpful.
No, I kind of get it though. But yeah, not very helpful at all.
So, like a few people says, I'd hold them down. I don't know if that's a very good idea.
Hold them down.
Yeah, so they've seen someone collapse, they jump on them and go, stay down, stay down.
But if they collapsed, sure. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
right.
It shows you, somebody at 22%, this is really scary, said they would attempt to put something in the person's mouth to stop them biting their tongue, which was an old thing years ago that has since been debunked. So do not ever do that. That is something you have to not do.
Wasn't there stories of people's fingers being nearly bitten off because if somebody goes into a spasm or whatever, they can bite down, not realising they're biting down.
They're not well, you're sticking things in their mouth. You're going to get bit. Yeah, and then like some people say they would try and make people comfortable by just saying it to them.
Putting a jacket on.
I guess what's fucking. Calm down! Stop freaking out!
Yeah.
Like that's how some people would help, you know.
Breathe!
Yeah. Do you want me to call your ma? You know, it really shows people do not know what to do. So, and another huge amount, 37%, said they wouldn't be able to recognise a seizure even if they saw one. What would you be thinking? Do you think they're dancing?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know. Like,
I suppose it depends on the nature of the seizure.
They don't all look
like
the same.
Do you know the likes of the Heimlich manoeuvre and all that? Do you know how to do it?
I know a Heimlich manoeuvre. I know the recovery position. I definitely know all those things.
Of course, you're a member of the RNLI. So you'd have all of that.
Well, you wouldn't be putting someone in a recovery position on water. That'd be a strange thing to try and do.
But you'd have gotten some sort of that type of training, would you?
Well, very basics, I suppose.
In fairness to
you, I wouldn't run away.
No, there was that famous time when you washed your hands.
That was the first time
we ever went out to an emergency shoot. So the one thing about you is you're never ruffled, are you? I'm just drying my hands. I'll be with you in a minute.
Okay, that was...
Somebody's drowning. Somebody's drowning at the moment. Yeah, I'm just drying my hands.
It sounds worse when you put it that way. What happened was it was my first ever emergency call. I'd never had the pager go off before.
Yeah.
I ran to the boat to get changed and I realised...
Naturally, the excitement took the better of you and you had to go to the toilet.
Yes. And then I was like, right, I'll wash, calm down. I kept saying, calm down. Just don't panic. Breathe, you know. And then I was washing my hands and then I just heard someone going... Is he washing his hands? And then someone went, this is the real thing, PJ. We have to go.
Wow.
I was like, oh my God,
I mean, I'm sure they weren't over, you know, I'm sure they were okay about you washing your hands, you know, from a germ point of view.
Yeah.
The drying of them might have been the part
The blow dry and the checking of the hair.
Exactly.
Before exiting the station.
Yeah, checking you looked okay in your fisherman's friends. Before you went
out. I will say, thankfully, everybody made it out of that one all right. Okay,
brilliant.
But yeah, so I suppose I'm laughing at people, but there was times I didn't know what to do either.
I mean, because everybody thinks they know the principle of a Heimlich manoeuvre, but there's probably subtleties to it and stuff, is there? And likewise, CPR. People probably assume they know. Press on him there. Give him a press on him.
Yeah, yeah.
And God knows the damage you could be doing.
And yeah, and then they'd be doing, give him the kiss of life. And they'd be using tongues and all. Even though nobody, you're not even supposed to do the kiss life anymore. That's gone as well, isn't
it?
Well, mostly it's just the CPR now, yeah.
Right.
I believe it's just the CPR.
You see, so like there, you're slagging the people that run away, but you know what I mean? There is that medical oath. First of all, do no harm.
Do no harm. Yeah.
So
keep that in mind. So if you see someone passed out, don't just grab them by the ankles and start running up the road, dragging them to the hospital.
Yeah, yeah. Out of my way.
Out of my way.
Injured man.
I have an injured L one.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
Heading into the weekend, obviously, a weekend tends to be one of those times when people get to indulge their hobbies, don't they? Their passions.
That's it.
You get the Northside Tonys of this world who can't wait to whip his club out, whip his driver out.
He can't stop doing his hobbies. Every day. He can't even fit his job in on a weekend the odd time. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, and people indulge in that. There's lots of regular... Sport is a big hobby for a lot of people, you know. There's all of that sort of stuff. But apparently, there's... the old ways are coming back.
They are, aren't they? Yeah, people... Traditional hobbies are back again. People are sort of sick of being terminally online and are looking for more and more ways to escape it, but also trying to escape it without having to do any blooming exercise. Because, you know, that's the world we live in.
You don't want to get carried away and start sweating and everything.
No. People don't. People are like, how do I do nothing but something at the same time? And stay off me phone. And that means the old hobbies are coming back. And although there's a new name for them, they're called heritage pastimes now.
Wow.
Heritage pastimes is what they're saying. And it gives you a... They're making a stylish comeback, is what they say, offering escape and a new way to connect and create and unwind. So things like knitting and crocheting and...
Knitting is now a heritage pastime.
Knitting is a heritage pastime, yeah. I get that, you know. Yeah, you would think it's strange if you've seen, I suppose, if you've seen a fella going out and, you know, and he's got his ball of wool sitting in the park.
Yeah, you, granted.
But you, fair play. Actually, if you're into that, that's
that
great.
Is a weird thing as well, isn't it? How hobbies can have a sort of a gender thing attached to them.
They do.
Because there's no reason in
it's
the
not
world
fair, but
why either
like that.
Men or women couldn't knit.
Exactly.
And I'm sure both have. But it is one of those things where you immediately think of a grandmother sitting...
Yes.
In a rocking chair.
Yeah. Whereas
making a scarf.
Exactly. And when you think of fishing, for example.
Exactly.
You don't think of...
No, you think of a lad who should know better. No, you think of a lad possibly with an egg in a nest.
Yeah. But
up to his, you know, has his waders on.
They do seem gendered. You know,
exactly.
They do. And they shouldn't be, because anyone can do any of these things. Like when you think of, I suppose, what do you think of? You think of people who are into bird watching. You always think of a fella, right?
Yeah.
You think of people who are into baking and you...
You do tend to think of women.
Women. Your tapestry, you tend to think of women. Coin collecting, you tend to think of men.
Men, very much. Oh, yeah.
I will say the ones the women do are very creative and actually something, you know, something they make something themselves.
Yeah.
Whereas the ones the lads do, it's just like, I'm after finding five of them.
Yeah. Catching other things and collecting things.
Yeah, catching and collecting things, yeah. Yeah, like when you see a fella with a metal detector wandering down the beach, you go, oh, no woman would ever do that. No woman would ever do that.
I mean, the way we're telling it at the moment, it does feel a little bit nerdier on the blokey side, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
For some reason.
It does, yeah. Now, that's not... There's people who are into all these things. Some people are into making soap. Believe it or not, that's made a comeback.
Yeah.
Making your own bars of soap. I didn't know you could do that. I thought you needed animal fats and everything. I thought you had to be. Yeah, I have no idea how you make soap.
That sounds like a lot of hard
work.
Making
soap or making candles, that's witchcraft to me. I haven't a clue. Mind you, I don't really. I'm not great at knowing the difference between a real potato and a potato candle. But drawing
that's
and
caused
painting,
a few problems in the past, I can tell you.
Drawing and painting, and believe it or not,
well,
reading.
There's one that one now, in fairness, that's... Even then, you wouldn't assign a gender to painting or artwork like
no,
that.
No, you wouldn't.
That's,
reading.
That's yeah. across the board.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So, and reading is definitely like, you know, book sales are still thriving in Ireland and all of that.
It's just weird that reading is regarded as a heritage thing.
Heritage, yeah.
Like, we gave up reading.
We gave up. We weren't into it anymore.
Yes. I no longer read.
Yeah, it's like, do you read? Yes, I do. What's your favourite? Twitter.
Yeah.
I love a bit of Twitter.
Yeah. I like a good bus sign occasionally.
Yeah, every so often I Google something that just popped into my mind. Yesterday I was reading why men's beards tend to get fluffier as they get older. I don't know.
Yeah.
You just sort of Google these things.
Reading as a heritage pastime.
Yeah. Yes.
Remember the old days where there used to be words on a page?
Mad days. Yeah. Back in the old, reading newspapers, that'll be the new heritage hobby, you know.
Yeah. Actually, you know something? That's the one thing I'm going to say I actually kind of miss.
Reading the newspaper.
I know that sort of age places you in a particular thing, right? But that used to be a joy to a certain, you know, to flicking through a newspaper.
Ah, yeah, no, I don't know why, because it was never convenient. I used to look forward to a Sunday paper, right? So you go down, you buy the Sunday paper, and you'd open it up, and it was three times bigger than the table you were sitting at.
Yeah.
And there was like 16 magazines in it. And you couldn't see your sausages under it, you know.
Yeah.
And you'd literally find one article and go, no way! And then throw the rest in the bin.
That's true as well, yeah.
And you'd still go, I look forward to that.
Yeah, and there was always vast sections of it that had nothing, you know, would have no interest for you.
Nothing.
Like for me, the business section.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, why did they even put that in?
Ringer, there's, no way. You'd be there to your missus, no way, the Isaac Index is after going mad with the fan deck. And she'd be like, what?
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie, or on the Nova app.